भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्णा। कंटिन्यूइंग आवर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 64 द डिलीवरेंस ऑफ किंग नृग टेक्स्ट नंबर 22। एतस्मिन् अंतरे यामैर् दूतैर् नीतो यमक्षयम् यमेन पृष्टस् तत्राहम् देवदेव जगत्पते। एतस्मिन् अन्तरे यामैर् दूतैर्नीतो यमक्षयम् यमेन पृष्टस्तत्राहम् देवदेव जगत्पते। एतस्मिन् अन्तरे यामैर् दूतैर्नीतो यमक्षयम् यमेन पृष्टस्तत्राहम् देवदेव जगत्पते। एतस्मिन् अन्तरे यामैर् दूतैर्नीतो यमक्षयम् यमेन पृष्टस्तत्राहम् देवदेव जगत्पते। एतस्मिन् एट दिस अंतरे अपॉर्चुनिटी यामय ऑफ यमराज द लॉर्ड ऑफ डेथ दूतय बाय द मैसेंजर्स नीतः taken yamakshayam to the abode of yamraj yamena by yamraj prishta questioned tatra there aham I deva deva o lord of lords jagat of the universe पते ओ मास्टर। ट्रांसलेशन पर्पोर्ट बाय द डिसाइपल्स ऑफ हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन ओ लॉर्ड ऑफ लॉर्ड्स ओ मास्टर ऑफ द यूनिवर्स द एजेंट्स ऑफ यमराज टेकिंग एडवांटेज ऑफ द अपॉर्चुनिटी दस क्रिएटेड later carried me to his abode. There Yamraj himself questioned me. Purport. According to the Acharyas, the king's performance of fruitive activities had previously been flawless. But now an inadvertent discrepancy had arisen. And so when the king died, the Yamudutas took him to the abode of Yamraj called Samyamani. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamsha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyatya Deshatarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gauradvishe Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyasya Kripa Sindhu Bhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. Translation once again. O Lord of Lords, O Master of the Universe, the agents of Yamaraj, taking advantage of the opportunity thus created, later carried me to his abode. There Yamaraj himself questioned me. Hare Krishna. So we are discussing this beautiful pastime, the deliverance of King Nriga. And so far, devotees have explained from different angles the same story. Some devotees touched the philosophical aspect. Some devotees, they quoted many other stories relating to King Nriga or the pastimes of charity. Radha Gopinath through the other day mentioned very beautifully the concept of dharma. And Shyam Charan Pu also mentioned so many nice stories connecting this pastime and connecting the charity of cows. It's very difficult to speak when so much is already spoken. But then you know, Vedas are also not limited. Vedas are unlimited. You dig in, you get more information also. So I was wondering, what should I take today in this discussion? We'll see something. We'll speak something on Nriga, something on Yamaraj. But we'll begin with a story of lizard, because that's how King Nriga is now, as a lizard. For so many, I think thousands of years he was a lizard, and here as now when Lord Krishna has touched him, he has become again, he got a heavenly form, and he is narrating his own story. even though Krishna knows the whole background, but Krishna is asking him, who you are? Suddenly from a lizard you became a very divine personality. So he is mentioning his own story. And while mentioning his own story, the climax has now come that he has reached Yamaloka, the abode of Yamaraj. So we will find many lizard stories in the Shastras. I remember a few months back I went to Kanchipuram. In Kanchipuram there is the beautiful temple of Lord Varadaraj. And when you go to temple of Varadaraj, after taking darshan of Varadaraj, then you go on a line and you're taken to a small place where you have to climb a small ladder and touch a lizard. Of course, it's not a living lizard, but it's a beautiful deity inscribed there. And there are two lizards, and there is a sign of a sun and a moon. And everyone who goes through that, to the darshan of Varadaraj, had to go ahead and touch the lizard, both the lizards. And there's a beautiful story connected to that. Something similar to this story. The devotee is there, and the scriptures there mention that there are two different kalpas in which the story happened. When one kalpa, it is mentioned that there was a sage Bringi who had two sons, and they were very nice young boys. And sage Bringi had sent them for education, Gurukul, in the ashram of Vasishtha. However, because they were young boys, many times they were engaged in frivolous activities. So they were given one service by their guru. And the service was to fetch water from the river and get it for guru's puja. Guru will use it for his puja of his, and his deity worship. So one particular day when they bought the pot, the guru saw the pot, and in that pot he saw a dead lizard in the pot. So he became very angry, because they were supposed to be very attentive in their service. They didn't see, just fetch the pot, the water, and got it in front of the, and kept it for worship of the deities. So Vasishtha became so angry, said, "You didn't see this lizard. This is how inattentive you are." So we find King Nriga was inattentive and he became a lizard. And these two boys, they were also cursed to become lizards. So when they cursed, then they realized that, oh, they made a very big mistake. So they approached their guru and asked for repentance. And the guru said, "Yes, the only way you can repent and get purified is, you go to this holy abode of Kanchipuram." He did not give them address also. You just go to Kanchipuram. And they went throughout the earth planet searching where is Kanchipuram. Finally they came to Kanchipuram and they saw this beautiful darshan of Lord Varadaraj, and they prayed to Lord Varadaraj to help. And Lord Varadaraj said that, "Yes, just by my darshan, because I am the benedictor, I am the king of giving benediction, Varadaraj. So because of that, I fulfill your benediction that you will be relieved from this curse. In fact, because you came to take my darshan, today, to this very day, you will go back to Godhead." So that mercy was given to them. "However, your soul will go back to Godhead, but your body as lizard will always remain eternal. And you will be always in this temple." And Lord said, "After people come to take my darshan, they will come to you and they will touch you. And they will remember that how one should be very attentive in their execution of devotional service or their pious life. And in fact, by touching you, people will be freed from all their negative vibrations or negative sinful activities, whatever they committed in their life." So even today also, you go to Kanchipuram, you go and touch the lizard, you have to climb a ladder and get down. And that's darshan in Kanchipuram. There are many more lizard stories. In fact, it is mentioned that in Dwarka, even today also, this place where this pastime took place, where Lord Krishna had pulled out the lizard, the King Nriga, this very place is even still in Dwarka. It has become a Tirtha. So we saw the previous story of lizard having been cursed, but because by the intervention of Krishna's mercy, their life became very divine. They got a lot of mercy. It became a holy place of pilgrimage within Varadaraj temple. Similarly, after King Nriga, he left back to the heavenly planets. And this whole area became known as Krikalasha Tirtha. So in the beginning of Bhagavatam also it is mentioned Krikalasha. And Prabhupada translates the word Krikalasha as lizard. So this place is even today in Dwarka called as Krikalasha Tirtha. And anyone who goes and takes bath there will be freed from all sinful activities, that is mentioned. So it becomes a Tirtha. So that is the mercy of Lord, that He arranges a so-called, an activity which is full of fault and makes it into divine. That's Krishna's divine touch. We also know about the beautiful story of the life of Sridhar Swami. Sridhar Swami in his earlier life was a householder. And he was inspired by Krishna to take up renounce order of life. But he was not able to take that bold step in his life. In fact, he had a wife and she was pregnant. So he was kind of, even though he was inspired from within to go to take sannyas, because in future he was going to do a very major task of writing a powerful commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam. So he was, to his conscience, he was always saying that, okay, I'll do it later. So he was procrastinating. So he told that, well, I will do it after my wife gives birth to a child. But unfortunately, during the delivery, his wife died. So he was thinking, now I cannot take sannyas. Because now the small child is there, you know, I will take care of him. But he was also feeling in his conscience that he should take sannyas, because Krishna was giving him a calling. So one particular day he saw on a wall that, I'm paraphrasing the story, I don't remember the details. A lizard gave birth to a small baby lizard, and the lizard died. And he saw a small baby lizard was in midst of nothing, no one to take care. And Sridhar Swami was constantly looking at this lizard, what will happen to this lizard? And suddenly, he saw that just in front of the lizard, small lizard who hardly could walk also, crawl also, a small fly, a small insect came in exactly in front of his mouth. And the small lizard opened his mouth, got his tongue out, took the fly and ate. Sridhar Swami saw that and said, if Lord Krishna can take care of this small lizard baby, why I cannot take care of this my baby who is a human being? And seeing that inspiration, Sridhar Swami immediately left home and went on to take sannyas and arranged. Today we are so fortunate that we are reading Bhagavatam, and Prabhupada has extensively used Sridhar Swami's commentary in his Bhagavatams. One of the best commentaries of Bhagavatam ever, the first ever, which is like very well known commentary. Of course, when Sridhar Swami left, it is mentioned that a couple were coming on that side near that house and they heard a baby crying and they saw that there was no one in the house, just a baby. And this couple had no children. So they took the baby and went. So this is another lizard story which we can see that how connection of lizard, divine lizards. I was referring to one particular blog one devotee has written. And he was mentioning that people have commented so much on this story. It's a popular story. People, when they comment, when they are not Shastric, they comment on various different aspects. So one particular person has commented that from this story we can learn, and he mentioned that this word Krikalasha, which is mentioned in Bhagavatam, is not actually lizard. It means a dinosaur. Because in the Bhagavatam translation mentioned, it's a typical animal creature, translation mentions, which is a huge body. So this commentator says that huge body, typical creature, means should be dinosaur. That means there are dinosaurs in the time of Lord Krishna also. So he used this story to kind of make an assertion that dinosaurs were in the time of Lord Krishna. But if you come back to the point of referring Acharya's commentary or referring Bhagavatam from the point of a pure devotee, we see that beginning of this story, it is mentioned why this pastime ever took place. It is mentioned in Bhagavatam. And it is mentioned that Krishna had a beautiful plan. He wanted to teach his own family members, his devotees, the important lesson that how, even though King Mriga had so much of opulence, he was so charitable, he made a mistake, and that mistake costed him to become a lizard for a huge span of years. So Krishna knew that because of his constant association with in the Dwarka, Dwarka Vasis were becoming proud of being very close to Krishna. They were taking a lot of pride of their opulences. So Krishna wanted to teach them a lesson that they should be very much constantly aware what they are doing. Because King Nriga, he made a small mistake and the whole idea that he went on to become a lizard. So, we come on to the point of King Nriga now. Now King Nriga is such a great king that even in many Puranas, when there is a reference of charitable persons, one of the names mentioned is King Nriga. In fact, when Yudhishthira Maharaj and Parikshit Maharaj's glories are mentioned in Bhagavatam, when charity comes, they are compared to King Nriga. So we can see that King Nriga was not an ordinary person. And specifically, Bhagavatam mentions the name of Nriga, it's a very important person. In fact, we can ascertain very clearly also that maybe King Nriga still holds record of charity. Can you imagine? He was distributing cows or charity of cows every day. And how many cows? And we cannot count also. Comparison is given as much as dust particles. Now, can someone count dust particles? So you can just imagine, maybe King Nriga still holds a record of distributing maximum cows. But the problem with him was, as Prabhupada mentions in the purports, in the Krishna book, that he was addicted to material desires. He was doing a very great charitable activity of distributing cows. But because he was attracted to material desires and he wasn't interested in devotional service, as a result, no matter how great a person pious may be, there is always a chance that his work may be tainted with small faults. So, as we saw in the previous verses, Vishwanath Chakra Thakur mentions in the purport that the only reason King Nriga was benedicted to meet Lord Krishna to take birth as lizard in Dwarka was that he did some devotional activity by chance. It was not out of his intention, but he helped some sage construct a temple or maybe establish a deity. And that resulted in that service, resulted him to have that connection with Krishna. Otherwise, he was on for a very big big problem. Because now in this verse, we see that King Nriga has reached Yamaraj. He is mentioning that when he went to Yamaraj, the day of judgment was there. And he was going to be judged for his all activities. And it's mentioned here that as the verses go on, Yamaraj tells him that he had done heaps and heaps of pious activities for which you will enjoy in heavenly planets for many, many years. However, one small fault you did was you displeased few brahmanas. So you have to also suffer something. So he was asked which one you want to choose first. Suffer the first, the small one, or enjoy the big one. And Prabhupada condemns him in Krishna book. So Prabhupada says that he thought that let me suffer little and enjoy more. Even there also he was wrong. Anyway, the point is that he decided to first suffer. And as soon as he uttered the word that let me first suffer my sinful reaction, he started falling down and he saw himself, his body became a lizard. And to his surprise, he had to become lizard for a very long time. So we find that Yamaraj is very, very precise in his decision making. Srila Prabhupada mentions in this third canto, Lord Kapila teaching to Devavati Mata, he mentions about living entity's journey to Yamaraj. Mentions every living entity, whoever he may be, as long as he does not go to spiritual world, he has to meet Yamaraj. Because Yamaraj is like a judge. And he takes decision whether the person will go to heaven or will go to hell. And Yamaraj is not just an ordinary judge. He is a very precise administrator. Dharmaraj is called as Dharmaraj. And Yamaraj is also a Mahajan, a great devotee. And meeting Yamaraj is not some ordinary task for a living entity. It is not like Yamaraj is... Meeting Yamaraj every living entity who is in this world today has met Yamaraj many times, but we have forgotten. But Yamaraj, the features of Yamaraj are very intense. They are mentioned in the Garuda Puran. And it is said that it is not like Yamaraj is sitting in some Bhagavatam class and is a jolly devotee. No. When Yamaraj is in his courtroom, he is very ferocious. The whole appearance of the courtroom, the appearance of Yamaraj, the Yamadutas are so fearful that the living entity is shaking and trembling in fear, does not know what will happen next. So we see that how having the audience of Yamaraj is not a good thing. Like sometimes, even though Yamaraj may be a devotee, but he may have a fearsome features. Like for sometimes, some devotees, they always tell us, you know, that they get good opportunity of joining some company where a devotee is the owner. But a devotee in temple, the same devotee in office is a different person. Because in office, he's a taskmaster. He has to get his work done. So people get bewildered. Hare, oi devotee kya? Same devotee who is chanting Hare Krishna 16 round, dancing in kirtan. But in office or a particular place, he is very pakka. And you come late, he chastises you also so much. So we can take an example. We can see how Yamaraj, maybe when he is in a courtroom, and he has to meet every person and deal with them. And it is mentioned that Yamaraj never fails in his judgment. Never fails in his judgment. In fact, even though Yamaraj is so fearful, the best thing is that in this world, people are not afraid of Yamaraj. And that's a beautiful pastime where Yamaraj as a yaksha, he asked this question to Yudhishthira Maharaj. That Yudhishthira Maharaj, what is the most wonderful thing in this world? And Yudhishthira Maharaj answers very nicely. He does not mention about any seven wonders. He mentions about that the best and amazing thing in this world is Ahani Ahani Bhutani Gacchanti Yamalayam. Everywhere people are seeing that people are dying and going to Yamaloka. But the amazing thing is everyone thinks that he will not die maybe. People think that he will live for a long time and he will be released. Gacchanti Yamalayam Sheshasthavar Icchanti. People are staying back, they never consider that, you know, people are dying in front of me. My grandfather has died and now so many of my relatives are dying, my friends are dying, everyone is dying next to me. Soon I have to die. Because as soon as people think of death, then they start contemplating what they have done in their life. But the best part, people do not contemplate on death. And that's the most amazing thing. However, people may contemplate or not contemplate. People are going to die. In fact, I was reading a nice article in the BTG recently. It's an old BTG I was reading. And this devotee was mentioning in America, some few years back, there was a statistics which was taken about the most feared, the different types of fear which is there in people in America. So around 3,000 people were interviewed and their opinions were taken. And this devotee was mentioning in that report it came, he thought people will think that the most fearful thing is death. But he was surprised. People had not rated death as the most fearful thing. People had rated, the most fearful thing people had rated was stage, fear of stage, public speaking. The maximum. People are afraid of coming in front of people and speaking. The highest was that. And second was people were thinking of darkness or people thinking of great heights, seeing from great height below and maybe I'll fall down. The fourth category which was the... And the fourth category, the fear of death came. Where people in America were thinking that some people thought, 19% people thought that maybe fear of death is also most important fear. So this devotee was confused why it happened so, that why people are not rating the death as the biggest fear. So he was discussing with some devotee and the devotee reminded him this verse. Yamaraj is asking Yudhishthira Maharaj. And Yudhishthira Maharaj said that everywhere around us we are seeing people dying, yet we don't think of our own death. And that's why people who don't think of their own death, they don't consider death is a fearful thing. and the least in the, they are least in the, it's a background. And all other fears, public speaking is a temporary fear. It may happen, may not happen. Heights or darkness. But this one fear is pakka, it will happen. But yet people are not fearful at that. So we can see that how it is such a difficult place in this material world. Everywhere death is there. People are going to Yamaloka, but people are still not serious about that whole aspect. Prabhupada also mentions in one conversation that people are not afraid of hell because here already it is hell, Prabhupada said. Life is hellish already here. One time Prabhupada was in London and one reporter asked Prabhupada, she was a Christian reporter, that Swamiji, you are preaching everywhere? And Prabhupada said, yes, I am preaching everywhere. We have centers all over the world. Is your preaching going on in hell also? She asked Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, what do you think? London is not hell? So hellish. City life is so hellish. A few years back, I was in book distribution marathon and we had gone to a company. I think Seat Tires in Mulund somewhere. And after book distribution was over, in the lunch time, the workers took some brahmacharis, Maharaj, aaiye, dikhata aapko main factory. They took us into the factory. It was like hell, everything black. People, their clothes were black, their faces were black, their hands were black. Everything was black. So they took to different stages, assembly line, this and that. And finally they came to a huge machine, which is like a, something like a compressor. He said, this is the maximum, this is the most important part as it's mentioned. Here all that rubber which is collected is compressed into a tire. He said, this is the most dangerous area in this factory. Anything can happen anytime here. People are working on this machine. When they leave in the morning home, they are not sure they'll go back. Because if one compressor blows off, because such a heavy temperature and pressure is there in that inside, just blows, people will, what to speak of die, they will not be seen only. The shreds. So I asked, how do you manage things? I said, abhi sab ho gaya, abhi sab, it's become common now. I mentioned, ever any incident happened? Yes, 4 years back you mentioned, one compressor just blasted off and three people were next to that, they died. So they are constantly there in that condition of hell. But because they are used to that condition, they don't feel like it's hell. In fact, many people, in Mumbai at least I have seen, people go in local trains. Local train is another hell. Going in the morning in local train, coming in the night, heavy rush. And I have seen when I travel in local train, if some train is empty, people ask, aaj khali kyu hai? Why there is so less rush today? Because people are used to rush and they don't like when rush is less. It's part of life. So it has become so part of life to live in a hellish condition that people are not afraid of going to another hell. Prabhupada mentions another story of a Christian priest. He went to a coal mine and he was preaching to the mine people in the mine that if you do not follow Jesus, you will go to hell. So they asked, what is hell? So hell is very dark, very dingy, very suffocating. So he said, what's wrong, you know? We are in coal mine, same as hell. Don't mind even if we go to that place. Then he had to tell them something which they could relate to. So Prabhupada mentions a story that he told them that in hell, that hell, you will not have newspapers. And for them, newspaper was very important. Why? Because they were throughout the day they were inside that dungeon in the hell and they could not see the world around them. So when they came out, the only information of the world was to newspapers who would receive that information. So when they were told that there will be no newspaper in hell, they said, oh, we are serious, tell us what to do, you know. So life is hellish and therefore people are not afraid of hell. However, Srila Prabhupada continues in the same purport that when the Yamadutas come, they take each and every living entity, whether it's a pious person or an impious person, as long as he's not going to the spiritual world, he'll take him to the abode of Yamaraj. And the details is given that the path to Yamaloka is also not one path. There are many paths. Depending on how sinful a person is, he will take him on a special path. That means on the path also there is suffering. Someone is pious, you may get an easy exit directly. It's like a Pune Express highway if you go. or if you go to some other road, each road has its own peculiar style. It takes long time. Some people are very sinful. They have to go through a long path of suffering, and then they reach Yamaloka. So, on the day of judgment, when Yamaraj announces what happens, it is mentioned that he never fails in his judgment. And we find that in the Shastra also, this is very critically analyzed, that Yamaraj never fails in his judgment. Some cases are mentioned in the Bhagavata and in some Puran where Yamaraj did fail, but that's a rare chance. It never happens regularly. We find the story of Ajamil, where Yamaraj, he sent Yamdutas and they came back empty-handed. But when Yamaraj understood that Yamdutas had gone to a wrong place, Yamaraj, it is mentioned, got an opportunity to preach Yamdutas about the principles of dharma. She was very happy. For Yamaraj, as a Mahajan, as a great devotee, to constantly associate with people, make judgments, make decisions, and as his entourage, the Yamdutas, Yamaraj is not many times happy in terms of performing his activity. It's a very difficult activity to be constantly surrounded by people around you who are not devotees. So Yamaraj found an opportunity and started preaching to Yamdutas, gave them an update of religion. So that is one place where Yamaraj's judgment did fail. Another place is when Mandavya Rishi, he was taken by the soldiers of the king and he was punished. And it is mentioned that he became very angry on the king, but he did not express his anger on the king. He went to, he said, I will go to the main person who does the judgment part. And he came to Yamaraj, and he asked Yamaraj that why I was about to be pierced by this lance. So Yamaraj saw the record, and Yamaraj told him that when you were a small child, you pricked a small ant with a thorn or a blade of grass, and because of that, you have to suffer this. So Mandavya Rishi became very unhappy. He became sad. He said, "This is a wrong judgment, and for this, you have to become a Shudra." So however, even though Mandavya Rishi mentions that it's a wrong judgment, actually it was not a wrong judgment. Yamaraj was right. But this particular incident is mentioned that how Yamaraj, he was always looking for an opportunity to get some break and associate with Bhagavatas. And this was a break which Krishna arranged through Mandavya Rishi, where Yamaraj was cursed to become Shudra. So he had to leave his own Samyami, the place of the abode of his planet, and then he came down and became Vidura. And as Vidura, he got plenty of opportunity to associate with devotees, to hear from Maitreya Rishi, serve Krishna. So you find that was a temporary thing. It was not a misjudgment, but it was a special case arranged for Yamaraj. So we can see that Yamaraj plays a very important role in making judgments. Srila Prabhupada says elsewhere in one purport that actually the potency of omniscient which Lord has is given to Yamaraj. And therefore he is very omniscient. He understands the past, he knows the present, and he can also predict the future. Past, present and future. In fact, Prabhupada mentions that Yamaraj is in direct consultation with the Super Soul. That means Super Soul dictates, Yamaraj understands and he gives judgment. That is how he is closely connected, because he has to do that judgment part. And in the case of King Driga wanted to enjoy an heaven. So Prabhupada says that a person who does lot of charity, he usually goes to Pitraloka to enjoy his term of pious activities. So King Driga was heading towards Pitraloka for his great charity. However, Prabhupada mentions that even though someone may go to Pitraloka because of his great charity, after he enjoys for as much as the time for his pious activity, that person has to come back to earth planet. And Prabhupada mentions that because he's gone to Pitraloka, he usually comes back to his own, to earth planet, and is born in the same family to continue again his pious activities. So King Nriga ordinarily was designed, like his life was designed that he should go to Pitraloka and come back to earth planet. But because of the special intervention we performed a pious activity, Bhakti Sukruti, of associating with devotees, helping them, he got a chance before going to heavenly planet, he got association of Krishna, and that made difference of his life. So this one important thing which we can learn from King Nriga's pastime is that King Nriga, even though he was a great charitable person, because he was a great person, he had overlooked the details of his activities. Like for example, when we do big, like for example, in our own personal life, we can learn that when we do big projects and big activities, there is always a chance that we may forego or not go into details of various activities, and that may result in some problems. Many times it happens that a big festival is done, everything is okay, done, and inherently some devotees are displeased because everyone was not properly considered. Everyone was not taken because the details were not taken. Just the project was important. You know, ISKCON Society also, we've seen so many examples where certain project was given more importance and then devotees were not given importance and devotees got fried out and they left the movement. So in the case of Nriga, at least I felt like, you know, King Nriga's example is, he was such a big charitable person, but while giving in charity, he made a mistake. He was giving charity in thousands and thousands of cows, but while giving charity, he was just giving charity of cows, and he gave the next charity. In that charity, one cow got, suddenly came back to the same barn, and he gave the same charity. So the details were not taken care by King Nriga. So therefore, when we we do big activities in our devotional service or any activity in devotional service, there has to be very much details. Details has to be taken care of. Because a small problem may lead to a big difference later. King Nriga never would have thought in his life that a small problem like giving one cow to the same Brahmana, to both the Brahmanas, could lead to a life of a lizard for thousands of years. So we can just imagine a small activity made a big difference. I was hearing a lecture, one devotee was mentioning that when a person is big, he has to be very careful about all small activities of his, because small activity can make a big difference. Anything big, like for example, this devotee was mentioning that a flight, if aeroplane is traveling, then he has to exactly travel in right direction. Let's say if an aeroplane starts from New York and is heading towards Mumbai, and a 1 degree angle shift it makes, just 1 degree change, what will happen? Initially is 1 degree, but as it goes, keeps going away, as it goes more further away, the angle becomes more and more larger. Maybe the aeroplane will not reach Mumbai, it will reach Moscow. So it begins with a small thing, but it ends into a bigger mishap. Shyamanpur was once giving a nice example, I remember. That it's a humorous example. One time, one young man went he wanted to get married, so he went for a place where he is supposed to see a girl. So the parents of the girl mentioned that our girl is very nice, everything is very good, and she's the best. She's highly educated. She's very beautiful. Everything is nice. And then they said, but only small problem is there. She is little pregnant. Now this is little pregnant means what? Now she will be pregnant for 1 month now, but that will result in a baby coming, and then so many activities may be small in beginning, but that may result in a very big problem. So therefore, sometimes it's a very big curse also if you become a great, have a big post also. There's a story in the Puranas that one time one dog came to a king asking for judgment, and the king did a full research and came to know that dog was intensely beaten, not taken care by one priest of a big monastery, something like that. And the conclusion was, the dog was asked that, we are ready to punish him, what punishment do you want? He said, let him continue as a priest of the monastery. Why? And dog told that, in the last life I was priest of a monastery. And being priest of the monastery, I was involved in big things, but I also made offenses to many people, and as a result I became dog. So he should continue as priest of monastery, because as monastery, with his current conditionings, he is definitely going to become dog in the next life. So as we grow big in devotional service and do big activities, we have to also be careful about small activities. Srila Jiva Goswami mentions a formula for going back to Godhead. And he mentions there are two things to go back to Godhead. One is attentive chanting, and second is attentive dealings. And he mentions in his commentary that attentive dealing is more important than attentive chanting. In fact, attentive chanting is possible only if there is attentive dealing with devotees. The first offense to the holy name is to blaspheme devotees who have dedicated their lives. So one thing which we can learn, take lessons from King Nirga's life is that we may do big activities like King Nirga did, but we should be also worried about or very careful of the details of that activity. It's very important. There are many more stories which we can take. We have 5 minutes. I'll take some more stories from the life of Yamaraj. Vrindavan Mahatmya mentions the story of Yamaraj's birth. It is mentioned that this Yamaraj is son of sun god. So when sun god was having relationship with his wife, it is mentioned because sun god is so effulgent, she became very fearful and she closed her eyes. As a result, sun god became very angry and said, "Son will be born to you who will create fear in everyone's life." And as a result, Yamaraj was born. So when Yamaraj was born, his features were very dark, he was very looking very gruesome. And it is mentioned that the wife of sun god, she was very unhappy that her child was having such ugly features. So she approached sun god and asked that, "Please, kindly do something to change this fate." She said, "I cannot change the fate, the child is already born. But the next child who will be born to you will be a girl, and she will be Yamuna. And anyone who takes bath in Yamuna, he will always escape the fear of your son, Yamaraj." So that is mentioned. So, see, it is mentioned in Garuda Purana here, the features of Yamaraj. It is mentioned, his eyes are red, his body is black as soot, his jaws are ferocious, his frown is severe. And his slaves are like hundreds of personified diseases, ugly with frightening features. And Yamaraj holds a rod of iron and a noose, like this. So great description is given in Garuda Purana of Yamaraj. So Yamaraj is not a pleasant personality to meet, even though he is a great devotee. So therefore it is mentioned in Mathura Mahatmya that anyone who takes bath in Vishram Ghat and takes bath in Yamuna Devi, he will be always released from the fear of Yamaraj. And there are many stories of Yamaraj contemporary and old past. Recently someone sent me a mail which came from Badri Narayan Maharaj about people experiencing Yamaraj or Yamadutas. Like one story mentioned that this is somewhere in America, forgot a temple name, maybe San Diego. So this temple, there is one person coming regularly to temple, and he was visiting for many years temple, but he wasn't serious about bhakti. He would not chant regularly, but he would come regularly, at least take darshan, be with devotees. He did not go beyond his initial steps of bhakti. So one particular day, something happened to him, he got diseased, and is admitted to the hospital. He slipped into coma, and for a month so he remained in coma. So Badri Narayan Maharaj would get updates about from his wife, and she told that 4 times this man has gone to coma and come back again. So Badri Narayan Maharaj went to that place and he chanted for that this devotee's name was Prakash. So he chanted for this devotee and came back. After 4th slipping into coma, then he came back, and it is mentioned that he revived and came back to normal state. And after he came back, first time he opened his eyes, and he was asking his wife to call Badri Narayan Maharaj. So Badri Narayan Maharaj rushed and went to meet him. He said, "Oh, I have seen. So Badri Narayan Maharaj thought that he must have seen me before, you know. He said, "No, I have come, you are seeing me." He said, no, I have seen. "To whom you have seen?" "So I have seen those 4 people who keep talking about in lectures, you know. And I have seen them 4 times. And then Badri Narayan Maharaj, he mentions that I went deep and understood that he talked of Yamadutas coming. And later when he became very healthy, he mentioned also that every first time they came, he became very afraid of them and said, "No, I am going to surrender to Krishna, I am going to surrender to Krishna. Actually, I am already Krishna devotee." So Yamdutas went back. The next time they came again, he also said, "Actually, I am surrendering, don't worry, I am surrendering." So four times he promised Yamdutas that he will surrender to Krishna. And finally, the fourth time they left, they didn't come back. So he said, "Now I am very serious, I want to become a good devotee now." So he came back and he started chanting regularly. He became a very powerful devotee, got initiated. Sometimes Yamraj may intervene a devotee's life in that way to make him serious. However, Krishna consciousness is the only antidote for not having darshan of Yamraj, the best one. In the Krishna book it is mentioned, Krishna and Balaram were searching for their guru's son, and that search led them to Yamaloka, the hellish planets. And Krishna and Balaram went to Yamaloka, and Krishna wanted to announce to Yamraj that he is coming to his place. So he just pulled out his panchajanya shank and he blew it. And as a result, what happens, it is mentioned that all the hellish planets, whatever was happening, intense activities, they stopped. There is one place where there are huge trees, where there are leaves which are like swords, and a person is dragged from the top of the tree. So when Krishna blew the conch shell, what happened? The leaves fell off the tree. Now the person was being dragged, he was dragged from like a roller coaster, you know, very smooth ride. And there was one place where people were being cooked on a fire, and the fire stopped. And there were Ruru animals in Rorava hell, and the Ruru animals disappeared. And it is mentioned in the book, Krishna book, that Prabhupada says in the Krishna book, that all the people who were there in the hell that time immediately went back home, back to God. So that is the power of Krishna consciousness. The person can avoid darshan of Yamraj. In fact, Srila Rupa Goswami has composed in his Padyavali beautiful verses about the connection of Krishna consciousness and death. I'll read a few verses before we end. And this is one fourth verse from the Padyavali. It is mentioned that, "O Supreme Personality of Godhead, when someone desires to chant your holy name, sins tremble in fear. Sins tremble in fear. The glory of material illusion faints unconscious. Yamraj's scribe, Chitragupta, becomes happy and gazes at the chanter's toenails with awe and reverence because he's chanting. And Lord Brahma prepares Madhupak and wants to worship this person who is chanting the holy name. Oh Lord, what more can we say than this?" So this is an unknown author in Padyavali. The next one is, "Lord Krishna's name is the only auspiciousness in this world. If one places Lord Krishna's name on his neck, then what is Yamraj, the king of the other world, to him? What are Yamraj's servants to him?" Like that. And the last one is, "The attempt to attain the heavenly planets impoverishes the entire world. The desire to attain impersonal liberation brings only trouble. The regimen of yoga is dry and tasteless. What is the use of endeavors like this? I shall abandon them all and simply make my chant, tongue chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Ram." And the last one is good. "O Lord, just as a miser continuously collects, counts and remembers his money, in the same way, let us continually collect, count and remember your holy names." So this is how, it's a beautiful antidote given. Srila Prabhupada was once challenged and asked that, "Swamiji, you are a renounced person. Why are you traveling in aeroplanes?" And Prabhupada said, "The whole world is going in hell and they are traveling in aeroplane to hell. If I have to stop them, I also have to travel in jet planes and go ahead of them and stop them." So when the intervention of devotee is there, intervention of Krishna is there, a person may be impious in his life, no matter who he is, but by touch of Krishna consciousness, he can improve and there is a chance to go back home, back to Godhead. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.